This morning we take a break from Matthew's Gospel, which we've been reading, and turn to John's Gospel, which the lectionary offers to us as an option for Reformation Sunday. We read from John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36, which is found on page 101 in your New Testament Bible. John chapter 8. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." For the word of God in Scripture, the word of God among us, the word of God within us. So as Jeanette said, today is a significant moment in the history of the Presbyterian Church and in Protestant churches throughout the world. We celebrate the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther posting his 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg Castle in 1517. I've gone back and forth over the last couple of weeks thinking about how I should offer a sermon today. So my first idea was to briefly flesh out the Reformation for you, give you some of its history, and then realized a brief recap of something so vast and wide as the Reformation would be next to impossible, and potentially not that interesting, and not really a sermon. So I've decided to just offer a sermon, which I think the Reformers would appreciate. So in our gospel lesson from John, Jesus is talking about freedom. Freedom was a key concern for many of the Reformers. He invites the group he's talking to live in freedom, which is not the word we usually hear when we hear him describe the good news of the gospel. The words he uses often, that we often use, are grace and forgiveness and salvation and new life. Today Jesus says the good news of the gospel and life in relationship to him is a life lived in freedom. And as he offers them freedom, he implies that there is a need in their life that is not being met, that they are in fact not free. To offer someone freedom is to say that they do not really have freedom, which naturally leads his conversation partners, a group of Jews, to feel offended. Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free," which leads them to respond, "Jesus, we are descendants of Abraham. We are not slaves to anyone. Are you implying that we are not free?" Which is a fascinating answer from a group of Jewish people whose history was filled with years of being enslaved to powerful and oppressive nations. There's the Egyptians and the Assyrians and the Babylonians and currently, in this moment, the Romans. But Jesus then takes the conversation in a different direction, talking not about physical slavery, but a spiritual state of being enslaved to sin. He says the one who commits sin is a slave to sin, which means that sin has control over them. It has its talons or its hooks in them. It is their master. But then he says, if the Son of God makes you free, you can live in freedom. And I've mentioned this before on a Sunday morning that I sometimes struggle with the word sin, not in the sense of denying it, It's fairly easy to look out in the world and see people hurting themselves or one another, nor is it that difficult to peer into our own soul and find areas where we know that we are missing the mark and there's room for growth and improvement. The reality of what the biblical tradition calls sin is quite obvious. My struggle is with the baggage that accompanies the word sin today. And I sometimes hear this belief when people are talking about sin, that sin is something that makes God unhappy. And this image of God is formed, of God off in the distance, unhappy with us, arms folded, looking away disapprovingly. And that can become a dominant image of how we see and relate to and understand God. This image of God unhappy when we sin. So for sure, God does not want us to hurt ourselves or hurt anyone else. But if sin does make God unhappy, it is because God desires nothing more than our happiness and our healing from whatever has us in its grasp. Let me say that one more time. If sin does make God unhappy, it is because God desires nothing more than our happiness and our healing from whatever sin has us in its grasp. The four Gospels of the New Testament are filled with stories of Jesus healing people. He's either physically touching them or declaring with his word that they are healed and they have been made well. Whatever once had control over them or had its hooks in them was no more. In the Gospel of Mark, that's basically all that happens in the first four chapters. Healing after healing after healing. And while it's perfectly fine to read those stories solely in a supernatural sense that showcases Jesus' miraculous powers, it's also helpful to read them from a human point of view and hear them through the eyes of one who is being healed. Because when we do that, we see a God embodied in the person of Jesus Christ who desires for us to be healed, to be free from whatever has us, whatever is in control over us, whatever is grasping us and not letting us be who God is calling us to be. These stories describe a God who desires for us to be healed and to be free. Using contemporary language, another way I've heard sin in the Bible described is through the word addiction, a disease that can be very destructive to ourselves and to others. Addiction is something that has its talons in us, that is in control over us. When we use the word addiction, we usually think of the big ones, so alcohol and drugs and sex and gambling, all the real big sins. But in actuality, we're all addicted in some way. We all have our actions or our ways of being in the world and how we navigate relationships that in some sense has control over us. Maybe addiction's another word, a contemporary word that we could use to describe what the Bible calls sin. So you might be thinking right now, well, Joel, I'm absolutely addicted to caffeine. What do you say about that? And my response would be, well, me too. If I don't have that cup of coffee by 10 a.m., the headache starts to make its way in and will not leave until coffee has entered my system, and large amounts of coffee at that. And so, yes, I'm addicted to caffeine. My body's actually addicted to caffeine. But I don't think Jesus is talking about caffeine here. He's talking about something else. He's inviting us to name our needs, to name our hurts, to name our brokenness. Really, he's talking about naming our areas of imperfection. And so I can relate to the people that Jesus is talking to today in our scripture reading and their defensiveness. And I wonder, are we really that different? Because there are pros and there are cons to living in the freedom that Jesus describes here. The challenge of living into the freedom that he invites us into is coming to a place where we're honest and we admit that we're not perfect and there's room for growth and improvement and asking for help and forgiveness. And that's not easy to do. That's hard to do. And Jesus' offer to us of freedom is an acknowledgement that there are probably areas in our lives where we are not free. And at first, Jesus' offer sounds more like bad news than good news, doesn't it? Because the first step towards freedom is to name the areas where we are not free, and that's not easy. I know that all too well. But while there are challenges, there's also abundance. There is an abundance of good news in today's scripture. And aren't you ready to hear some good news this morning? How we begin living into this freedom that Jesus offers, the good news of the gospel, grace and forgiveness and salvation and new life and freedom, is to begin with the good news that the reformers, the architects of the Reformation, so passionately shouted from the rooftops. That there is nothing to earn, there's nothing to achieve, there's nothing to prove. We are children of God, and God loves us not despite our imperfections, but God loves us in our imperfections. And when we have the courage to name our imperfection and areas where we can grow, God always meets us right there and loves us exactly as we are in that moment. We are not perfect, that is for sure, but we don't have to be in order to be loved. So today we celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, and how we best celebrate it is by living it. Do we miss the mark? Do we have imperfections? Absolutely. Sometimes it's even before we get through with breakfast. But God loves us in our imperfections and invites us to accept that we have been radically accepted. And that's the first step to this life of freedom that Jesus invites us into. That is the truth that can truly set us free. Thanks be to God. Amen.